Don't miss him, sinner friend. Don't miss the Saviour. Not as he passes by. I trust that you'll seek the Lord while he may be found, and that you'll call upon him while he is near. I want to thank you for coming out. If you've been here every night, well, you deserve a medal for coming out every night to hear me preach the Word of God. I trust that you have been praying for us. It's lovely to see some friends. Someone must have passed their driving test today. Maybe did. He's smiling anyway. We're so grateful for that. And we trust that the Lord will bless us as we come around God's Word. I have been speaking last night. I spoke to God's people. And tonight again, it will be, yes, for God's people and for those that have maybe wandered away from God. But if you have invited somebody out, you don't be worrying about that for the next few nights. I trust that we'll be bringing gospel messages. So if you know someone unsaved, you bring them in. They're more than welcome. And if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, I trust that the Lord will bless you even as we open God's Word. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to a couple of passages of Scripture. 1 Corinthians in the chapter number 4. Some people are going to regret for not attending their own prayer meetings tonight because they're going to hear a message that we preached on before. We'll not say anything, but we're glad to see you here. 1 Corinthians in the chapter number 4. Keep your hands there. And then I want you to turn for our first reading in 2 Samuel and the chapter number 23. 2 Samuel and the chapter number 23. So keep your hand in 1 Corinthians 4 and then 2 Samuel in the chapter 23. Now we're going to commence at the verse 8. The Word of God reads, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat chief among the captains. The same was Adono the Ezonite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eliezer the son of Dodo the Athonite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defiled the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah the son of Agi the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." And now we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Keep your hands in 2 Samuel because we'll be coming back there. 1 Corinthians 4 and the verse number 2. "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. With God's Word open, let's seek God's face in prayer. Our loving Father and our gracious God in heaven, we thank Thee, Father, again for this opportunity in which God has entrusted us with the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that Thou wilt raise this meeting from the realm of the natural into the realm of the supernatural. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt come by Thy Spirit, dear Father, and speak to lives and speak to hearts. We pray, Lord, that we may not minister, dear Father, from our heads tonight, but that we might minister from the heart to the heart. We pray, dear Father, that Thou wilt move by Thy Spirit. Father, Lord, we thank Thee for all these dear folk that have made the effort to come out this evening. But Father, Lord, we could have this place, Father, jam-packed, Father, and yet not Thy presence. And we pray, Father, that Thou wilt come and send forth the Holy Spirit, the blessed Spirit of God that has come to reprove this world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt liberate this preacher, dear Father. We thank Thee that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt drive out the enemy. Drive out the devil, dear Father. We cry, Lord, that Thou wilt give this preacher such power as we have never known before. Oh God, we cry to Thee. There are young men in this meeting and they're not saved. And Father, Lord, they're about to enter into God's eternity. And who knows, Lord, this might be their final meeting.
We pray in the name of Jesus that Thou wilt trouble their souls and bring them through for the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of those that are following afar off, dear Father. Lord, like Peter, we pray in the name of Jesus that You'll speak to their hearts, Lord, through this message. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt, Lord, cause them to return to their first love and, Father, fall in love again with Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Father, Lord, for Thy Spirit to come. We pray in Jesus' name and answer to prayer. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And Lord, I'm asking You, Lord, that You'll empty me and then fill me with the Spirit of God and of power, and may signs follow the preaching of Thy Word for the purpose that Christ may be glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. It is a tragedy whenever a young person who was once in love with the Lord Jesus Christ allows other loves to enter their hearts. They once attended the fellowship meeting on a Friday evening, but are no longer found there. They once were involved in God's work, but they are no longer involved in God's work. They are enjoying the pleasures and the sins of this world. They once attended the prayer meeting on a Wednesday night, but they are no longer at the place of prayer and their seat is empty. How things have changed. Once you loved the Lord, and now your heart has grown cold. It could be said of you as it was said of Demas concerning his relationship. He had forsook the Lord having loved this present world. And I believe that there are many people in the Church of Jesus Christ, and they attend God's house on a Sunday morning, and they attend God's house on a Sunday evening, but their hearts are far from God. They have no thought of Christ. They don't lift their Bibles from one week to the next. They never buy in prayer in their own closet, and their heart has been taken away with the cares and with the deceitfulness of riches. The Holy Spirit could write across your life this evening that you have been unfaithful to the Lord. You have got an unfaithful relationship with the Lord. There is nothing new under the sun. King David in his day said in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 12 and the verse number 1, let the faithful flee from among the children of men. And then his son, he would ask the question in Proverbs 20 in the verse number 5 or verse number 6, he said, a faithful man who can find. In other words, David looked across all the men and Solomon looked across all the men that they knew, and they could not find one faithful man among them. There is nothing new under the sun. This man that we read of in 2 Samuel 23, it could not have been said about this man. This man was faithful literally unto death. This man was faithful to his king. And what a type this is of our lives and our relationship with Jesus Christ. How we must be faithful to our Lord and to our Savior. I believe that this young man, whenever he died and passed over the River Jordan, I believe that he heard from the lips of Jesus Christ, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord. There are only two verses recorded in the whole of Scripture about this man by the name of Shammah. 2 Samuel 23, verse 11 and 12. You know, I was thinking about this and how God brings you full circle. I remember the first time I believe I preached at Randestown Youth Rally. It was upon this man's life and how God brings you full circle. And we're going to look at this man. And I believe that this story can teach us many valuable lessons in our Christian life. Especially I want to speak to those that have maybe drifted away from the Lord. Because you have been unfaithful to the Lord. And you're bringing His name. You're bringing His name into disrepute by your life and by your actions. And I trust that God by His Spirit will strike home to your heart. And that you'll get right with the Lord tonight. And that you would start to go for Jesus Christ. I wonder, could it be said of us, like it was said of Shammah, that we are faithful to our King? Or tonight, could the charge of unfaithfulness be laid against our lives? I want to ask you the question. Have you drifted away from the Lord? Now it might appear to your church or your pastor, it might appear to your friends and your loved ones and your family members that all is well with you spiritually. You know, we know what to say in the right conditions and in the right place. If our preacher puts us into a corner, we know what to say. If our youth leader puts us into a corner, we know what to say. We know all the spiritual terms. But I want to ask you folks, is your heart right with God tonight? Is your soul right with God tonight? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ whenever you first met Him on that road of your sin, whenever He forgave you of your sin and pardoned your soul and cleansed you from your past? Do you love Jesus Christ as much now as you did then? For if you do not, then you have backslidden, you have went away from God, and God needs to win your heart again. Could it be said of you as it was said of the book or the church in the book of the Revelation, thou hast left thy first love? Thou hast left thy first love. I want to see first of all and show you what happens. How does this happen? How does a young person drift away from God? What things come into a person's life that causes a person to drift away from God and from the things of the Lord? And then I want to present the remedy of the way back to Christ. First of all, I want us to consider the things that cause a person to drift away from God. The things that cause a person to drift away from the Lord. The first thing I believe that we see in God's Word that caused this man, or could have caused this man, to become unfaithful to his Lord was that of the invasion of an enemy. Look what it says in the verse number 11 of 2 Samuel 23. And after him was Shammah the son of Agi the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. Now I want you to realize that the Philistines had plagued David all his life. It was the Philistine Goliath that had propelled young David into the limelight of Israel's history. Whenever he would take the stone and he would take the sling and he would put that stone right at four square into the man's head, and then he would run to Goliath, take his sword, cut off his head, march triumphantly into Jerusalem, where the woman would sing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has tens of thousands, and he would get the honor of slaying the Philistine Goliath. But what I want you to realize now, that in Shammah's day, the enemy is still the same. The enemy is still the Philistines. But I want you to notice that the enemy was not literally the Philistines, but was the personality that was coming against the children of God through the guise of the Philistines. Who was this personality that came to rob God's people of their inheritance? It was the devil himself. You see, ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, ever since the day that they disobeyed God's law and they violated the law of God, it was ever the desire of the devil and Satan to destroy the royal line of the Messiah. You see, Jesus Christ is going to come through the tribe of Judah. And Jesus Christ is going to come to be the Savior of the world. And ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden, it was the devil's desire to try and cut off that line. He tried to do it at the birth of Christ, whenever Herod would slay all the boys under the age of 2 years of age. It was his desire to destroy the Savior of the world. Now the devil is doing this in Shammah's day. He's trying to destroy the children of God. He's trying to rob them of their inheritance. I believe that Satan has done well in our day to rob us of what we should enjoy as God's children. I believe that the devil has robbed people of their assurance of their salvation. He has filled their lives with doubts and he's filled their lives with fear. But the Word of God says, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And maybe the devil has robbed you of your insurance, of your assurance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. The Word of God says that if you call, that he'll answer. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever called? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Master of your life? I believe that the devil has robbed most Christians of their joy. Most Christians of their joy. You know, some Christians are that miserable and sour looking. You would think they've sucked lemons at breakfast, lunch, and dinner time. They're that sour looking. But I'll tell you, Christ gives you joy. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Why did David say in that psalm, in Psalm 51, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation"? Because sin had robbed him of it. And it's very evident whenever you're leading a meeting and whenever you see Christians, you know that they've got no joy. No joy. The devil robs us of our peace. He tries to put fear into our hearts, but the Word of God says He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The devil comes and robs us. What causes a person to drift away? The invasion of an enemy. Now you may ask the question, well, how does the devil come in 2007? You know, the devil doesn't come and knock your door with a troop of Philistines behind him and say, "I'm going to take you captive." He doesn't do that today. But he uses other means and other methods in order to shift you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the first thing he uses? Unscriptural relationships. Unscriptural relationships. Now I want to say to you, young man in this meeting, you profess faith in Jesus Christ. Young woman, you profess faith in Jesus Christ. I want to make something absolutely clear. The Word of God absolutely forbids you to go out or even marry somebody that is unsaved or backslidden. The Word of God says, if any two of you, the Word of God says, can two walk together except they be agreed? The Word of God says that you're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And the Word of God is full of lies of men that could have been something for God, but they blew it because they got into a relationship with a woman and she took her heart away. And there's many a young man that showed much potential. Many a young woman that showed much potential for God. And then they got involved in some relationship and they're going nowhere for God anymore. They're not making an impact into the generation into which God has set them down. And they've blown it. This is a bit of Castle Durg theology. I remember a girl saying to me about relationships. She says, "Better be on the shelf than in the wrong cupboard." And it's so true. Better be in the shelf than in the wrong cupboard. And better, my dear friend, being single and in love with Jesus Christ than to be going out with somebody and fall out of love with Christ. Unscriptural relationships. What about Samson? Samson had the anointing of God upon his life. Samson was the greatest judge, or could have been the greatest judge in the book of Judges in his day. And Samson was a strong man, but for a woman. He lost his vision, he lost his power, he lost his anointing, he lost his vision. And he found himself bound and fettered. And he done nothing really for God until his death. What about Solomon? You know, they say Solomon was the wisest man in the whole world and he asked God for wisdom. Well, he must have missed about relationships because Solomon married 700 women. And it's hard enough to get one wife, never mind 700, but he married 700 and he had 300 concubines. And it says that in his old days that his wives took his heart away to other gods and his heart was not perfect towards the Lord. I believe that people can get into relationships, young person in this meeting. And you can get into a relationship and it's not of God and can take you away from God. I want to ask you, young saved person in this meeting, you profess faith in Jesus Christ. Since you've got into the relationship that you're in now, are you closer to God? Are you further away from God? If you're further away from God, then it's time to end the relationship. Because He takes first place. He takes the first place. There are unsaved people in this meeting. And a relationship keeps you back from coming to Christ. You say, but if I came to Christ, what would happen? My girlfriend, what would she say? Or if I came to Christ, what would my boyfriend say? Listen, my dear friend, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and you lost your own soul? Imagine losing your soul for a girl. Imagine losing your soul for a boyfriend. Imagine being in hell for all of God's eternity because you just wanted to enjoy the passions and the lusts and the desires of a relationship that would maybe last 50, 60 years if even goes that far, and to be lost in eternity. I was hearing about a young man. He was telling me about his uncle. His uncle lives in Spain. And his wife told him that if he ever came to Christ, that would be the end of the relationship. She would walk out and divorce that man if he ever came to Christ. And that man will probably sell his soul for a relationship. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. The devil comes with ungodly friendships. How many a young man has got in, a young man that loves the Lord, or a young woman that loves the Lord, and they've got into wrong company in at school. You've got in wrong company at university. And they say, well, just come out one night. And you go out one night. You know, folks, I'm speaking from experience. Go out one night onto the town. And then one night comes another night and another weekend and another weekend. Try just one drink. Try another drink. And it keeps on going and you go deeper and you go deeper and you go deeper into into sin. And friendships can take you away from God and take you away from Christ. Ungodly friendships. Friends can influence our desires, our language, the places we go, the way we dress. You know, the Word of God asked the question, ye did run well, who did hinder you? You know, the Word of God didn't say, ye did run well, what hindered you? The Word of God says, who hindered you? There was somebody that hindered that man from walking with God. Who's hindering you tonight? There's unsaved again in this meeting. And you're thinking about your friends. Well, if I came to Christ tonight, what would my friends say? Oh, he's become a fanatic. He's become a holy roller. He's become a Bible basher. He's become one of those free Presbyterians. Folks, free Presbyterianism doesn't save you. Jesus Christ alone saves you. And who cares what the world will say about you? Your friendships. Your friendship keeping you back from Jesus Christ. I trust it's not. I trust it's not. The devil comes with unholy desires into our lives. What do I mean by that? Well, desire comes from what we place before our eyes. Many a young man, many a young woman that wants to go on with God, they set certain things before their eyes that they shouldn't. What I'm speaking about is television programs late at night that you shouldn't be watching. Movies, internet, pornography. I'll tell you, in America, the greatest fallout reason for pastors falling out of the ministry is internet pornography. My dear friend, you could be involved in it in this meeting. And you must flee from these things. Flee youthful lusts, the Word of God says. And it'll destroy your life and it'll destroy the power of God in your life. And it'll take you away from Jesus Christ. What about the devil for the unsaved and the desires? You know, the devil paints many a lovely picture. He says, enjoy the world, enjoy the passions, enjoy the drink, enjoy the drugs, enjoy the woman, enjoy the man. Enjoy it all. Sure, you've only got a short life. Sure, what do you think of that Christianity? Sure, put that out of your mind. And he paints it up so well, but I'll tell you, there's wages to pay. Do you know what the Ecclesiastes Solomon said? He says, young man, I'll paraphrase it for you. He says, young man, enjoy the pleasures of the world. Enjoy the drink, enjoy the drugs, enjoy everything. But remember that for all these things, for all the sins of the past, for every sin you've ever committed, for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. The Word of God says that you're going to be brought into judgment for your sins. And there's going to come a day whenever your soul will fly out naked into the presence of a holy and a righteous and a just God. And I'm going to ask you, young man, what are you going to say then? What are you going to say then whenever he shows you his hands, his feet, his side that was riven for you? Whenever he shows you the cross, whenever he shows you his love that he poured out onto you, whenever he showed you the goodness of God that tried to bring you to a place of repentance, what are you going to say then? What are you going to say then? Whenever you stand before him, For he's going to ask you, what did you do with my son? He's not going to ask you what you thought of the preacher tonight. He's not going to ask you, did you think he was a madman? He shouted too much. He's not going to ask you that. He's going to ask you, what did you do with Jesus Christ? And you're going to say, I walked out that door. And I laughed. And I ridiculed the preacher. But I rejected God's son. And then he'll reject you. He'll reject you. For all these things, God will bring you into judgment. You know, we have an adversary. You know, some people think the devil's some sort of wee man, wee red man with a wee fork in his hand and a big tail. You know, the devil's not like that. The devil is cunning. And the devil will do everything. Do you know what his purpose is for your life? His purpose for you in your life is to end up in the place where he's going. To take your soul to hell. And he'll do anything and everything. He'll put every desire that you want. He'll give you every passion and lust in your life. He'll give you everything. But at the end, whenever it comes to the river of death, you're going to stand alone. And you're going to have no Savior. You'll have no Savior. And you know, the Christians were all a big joke in life. And Christianity was all a big joke and all a big laugh. And the gospel open air, well, he was a madman. But you know, folks, whenever you enter death, then it's all very real. And you'll wish you had listened to the preacher. And you'll wish that you had come to Christ. But it'll be too late. Because you rejected God's Son. The devil comes. The devil comes and invades our lives to take our hearts away from God. I wonder, young person, what has come to take your heart away from God? What has taken your heart away from Jesus Christ? You know, there's some people and they have bitterness towards other Christians. And that is taken and they say, well, if that is Christianity, I want to have nothing to do with it. And folks, that might be the case. But you've kind of forgot something. That you're going to stand alone with God. You're going to stand alone. And you're not going to say, well, that Christian said and that Christian... You're not going to say that. Because he's going to turn to you and he says, ah, but what about you? What about you? The devil came. The second thing was the insignificance of his station. There was an insignificance of his station. I want you to notice that this man stood on a field of ground full of lentil beans. This man, in verse number 11, it says that he stood in a ground full of lentil beans. You know, this man, Shammah, was not asked by David to defend Jerusalem. Neither was he asked to defend some strategic position. All that he stood for, all that he fought for, was a little insignificant allotment ground full of lentil beans. You know, it wasn't very exciting where he had to stand. But yet he stood faithful to the Lord. Do you know why he stood in that place? Because Shammah realized something. You know what he realized? He realized the enemy's coming. And he realized today the field, tomorrow the farm. You see, Shammah realized that if he gave the field today, that they would take the farm tomorrow. And there's many a young person in their lives and they just commit some little sin. Just a little sin. I'll just stay away from the gospel meeting 1 week. Or I'll just stay away from the prayer meeting 1 week. But 1 week leads to 2 weeks. That leads to 3 weeks. And not very soon you're away from God. You're away from the Lord. And it's very hard to get back. It's very hard to get back. Whenever you've drifted so far. The insignificance, the little foxes the Word of God speaks about spoiling the vine. There was a third thing that could have caused them to drift away from the Lord. It was the inconsistency of others. I want you to note what it says in the verse number 11. It says at the end of the verse, and the people fled from the Philistines. I want you to notice that God's people had developed a habit of running away. For it says in the verse number 9 at the end of that verse, and the men of Israel, they were gone away.
These people had developed a habit of just quitting, just giving up. And there's many in God's house, maybe even this evening, and you've just given up on God. Now I know, folks, that you've got your Bible in your hands, and I know you have your ties on, and I know you have your hats on your head, but I know that there's people in this meeting and you have given up on the Lord. You've given up on Him. He's not real in your life. You don't love Him as you ought to. And you've just given up on the Lord. And you have become inconsistent in your walk with Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is plagued with inconsistency. How many times have you not heard it? Well, if that's Christianity, if that's what God's grace are, if that's what this salvation business is supposed to do in my friend's life, he says the same words that I say, he goes to the same places I go to, he listens to the same music I listen to. If that's Christianity, I want to have nothing to do with it. Folks, that's not Christianity, that's sham. But whenever Jesus Christ comes into an individual's life, the Word of God says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I remember last year, it was May last year, my younger brother had been going out with a girl. He's not here tonight, so I can speak. My younger brother had been going out with a girl, very beautiful looking girl, but God's Spirit had been striving with his soul. I remember meeting him one night. I would take a bit of a walk round the field. I'm a bit of a loner, but I'd take a bit of a walk round the field because I live on a farm. I was walking down the field one night and I was about to throw my leg over the gate, and who did I see but my own brother. And we had been praying a long time for him. And you know, he said that night, you know, he says, I've come to Jesus Christ. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And he was crying over this girl. Now, he wasn't crying. And this girl wasn't saved. And he knew that the relationship had to end. He knew that. For God's Word says that it'll have to end. For you can't be mingled together. You can't do that. And he knew this, but he had love in his heart for her soul. And it took me about 6 months before I said, yes, there is a work of done in his life. There was such a radical change. I remember one day walking out to the bin, opening the bin, and seeing all of his CDs in the bin. From Eminem to Madonna to everyone that he had ever listened to, every CD that he had ever bought was now in the bin. And he was now listening to Reverend McRae. Now I'll tell you, there's a lot of grace that's needed if you're going to listen to Willie McRae singing. A lot of grace. But that was what the change in the life was like. You know, he used to say, I remember him saying quite recently, he said, I used to hate wearing my suit on a Sunday. He says, but I can't wait now to get into my suit. I'll tell you, it takes the grace of God to put a man into a suit, but it's not the suit on the man, but it's the new man in the suit. And Christ made him a new creature. The places that he attended was not the places that he attended anymore. And then quite recently there on the 25th of February, the joy of seeing a good friend of mine brought to Christ, and what a change there has been in the life. You see, God changes people. He doesn't renovate them. He doesn't, like, you know, change a wee bit and leave a wee bit unchanged. He makes you a new creature. New desires, new friends, new places. Once you didn't want to read the Bible, you were reading the Sun newspaper or the Daily Star or the FHM or some sports magazine. But now you want to read the Bible. I'll tell you, that's a change of God. Once you used to listen to the music of the Word, and now you want to listen to somebody singing about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what grace can do within a life. And where sin abounded, my dear friend, grace can much more abound. He changes you. It isn't you trying to clean up your life. It isn't you trying to do something new. It's Him changing your life. And Jesus said, but what do I need to do? You know, listen, you just need to come. Come to Him. Receive Him as Savior and Lord in your life. I want to say something about the inconsistency of others. I want you to notice that whenever somebody decides to drift away from God, I want to speak to the backsliders in this meeting. You decide to drift away from the Lord. You decide to stop reading your Bible. You decide not to pray. You decide not to go to gospel evening service anymore. You decide not to do that.
I want to tell you folks, nobody quits alone. You need to get that. Nobody quits alone. You decide to leave the Lord, you'll take at least two or three with you. And there's Bible for that. Do you remember Naomi? Naomi was in Bethlehem. You can read of her in Ruth in the chapter number 1. Remember Ruth or Naomi? Naomi just couldn't hack the famine in the land, and so she decided that she would take Elimelech, Mahlon and Chilion. Elimelech was her husband, Mahlon and Chilion were her two sons, and they decided just to go to Moab, just to sojourn there. In other words, they didn't plan to stay very long. Just a few months until the famine was over, and then they would return back to Bethlehem. They didn't plan to stay away very long, but they ended up there 10 years. And there's many a backslider, and they don't intend to be very far away. They don't intend to spend very long away from the Lord, but it might be 10 years. It might be 10 years. Well, this woman went. She decided to leave her trust and faith in God. And what happened was her husband died. And then her two boys would die. Because there's always a cost whenever you go back. Nobody quits alone. Do you remember Peter? Peter was so discouraged in God's work. Peter was so disheartened with God's work that he decided that the old job was better than the new job. In other words, the fishing was better than the soul winning. And he decided, you know, I'm going back fishing. Do you know what he said one day whenever there were 7 other boys around him? He says, I go a fishing. Now he did not say, let's go fishing, boys. He didn't say. He didn't give them an invitation. He says, I'm going fishing. Do you know what happened? Everybody threw their leg over the boat and got into the boat with him. Because it only takes one bright spark to come up with a stupid idea. It only takes one bright spark to come up with a stupid idea of not attending God's house. And everybody gets into the boat. You as a young man, you love the Lord and you decide to quit on God. And you've got brothers underneath you, you decide to quit. Believe you me, your brothers will follow you out the door. They'll follow you out the door. Because nobody quits alone. And you might come back. But do you notice in Naomi's story? Not all the prodigals come home. Did you notice that? 4 went out, and only 1 of the original came back, because not all prodigals come home. And I stand tonight as testimony to that fact. Whenever I walked away from God, I took a young man with me. And tonight he's in the Word. And he used to sing for Jesus Christ. Nobody quits alone, folks. Nobody. What is the remedy? What is the remedy for somebody that has drifted away? What is the remedy for the sinner? The remedy is Jesus Christ. Do you know what it says in the verse number 12? It says, the Lord wrought a great victory. And I believe that brings us, and we'll be bringing this meeting to close. I believe that that brings us to the cross of Jesus Christ. You see that verse of Scripture? I believe it brings us to the cross. It says, the Lord wrought a great victory. And I want to say at the cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ wrought a victory that has never been repeated or will never need to be repeated again. For what Jesus Christ done on the cross satisfied God's demand. The law of God throughout the Old Testament. Do you know what the law of God demanded whenever Adam sinned? The law of God cried, guilty. Payment must be made. Death to the violator of the law. And throughout the Old Testament, that's what the law cried. You're guilty. You're guilty. And throughout the Scriptures, as we go down from Psalms into the Old Testament, through the prophets, the law of God demanded for the sinner. You're guilty. You're guilty. But you know what the cross cried? The cross cried, mercy. Mercy. And for you unsaved person in this meeting, you stand condemned already. That's what John says. Do you know what that means, folks? Do you know what that verse literally means? The Word of God says, he that believeth not is condemned already. Do you know what that means? That means you're as sure of hell as if you were in it tonight. You're sure of hell as if you were in it tonight.
It says that you're condemned already. But you see, the cross brings freedom from that. What did the hymn writer not say? Free from the law, O happy condition. Jesus hath bled and there is remission, cursed by the law, bruised by the fall. But grace hath redeemed me once and for all. I said on Sunday night, whenever a person is on death row, do you know the only answer for somebody to get out of death row? Do you know what it is? Somebody has to send them a pardon. Somebody has to come and pardon them. And whenever somebody is caught in a snare, and snare of sin, you know what has to happen whenever an animal is ensnared? Someone greater and someone mightier has to come along and rend the snare and bring emancipation and bring deliverance to that caught animal. And I'll tell you, sinner friend, that's what the cross has done. That's what the cross can do for you, is to bring pardon and to bring a ransom and to bring you deliverance. Because the Lord wrought a victory. The Lord wrought a victory within this battle. There is a battle that goes on within the soul of every unsaved person in the meeting. I wonder, will the Lord win the victory tonight for your soul? You know you're a sinner. You know that your life, the evidence of that, I know that your life is not fully satisfied, is that you're in this meeting tonight. You know that your sin has not brought you the enjoyment that you thought it would. And you have saw the change within an individual's life, and you know that what they have is a genuine article. And you want what they have got. And that's why you're in this meeting. And now you need to meet Jesus Christ. You need an encounter with Jesus Christ. I wonder, will you come tonight? I wonder, will you trust Him? Maybe you've drifted away from the Lord, and God knows everyone's heart. God knows your heart. God knows whether or not you bowed in prayer today. God knows whether or not you read your Bible today. God knows if you love the Lord. Do you love Jesus Christ? You know, I love the Lord. I wouldn't be here, folks, tonight, and believe you me, I wouldn't be here tonight if I didn't love the Lord. It was very nearly this morning that I was going to ring and ask Mr. Mullen to get someone else to finish the mission. But I love the Lord. And I love your soul. And that's why we're here tonight. But I want to say that God loves your soul. And Christ died for you. And He shed His blood for you here in His love. That He would do that for me and for you. How do I come? You confess you're a sinner. You believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of man's soul. And you repent of your sin. Do you know what repentance is? It's about an about turn. You're walking this way. And you go that way. This way is the world. This way is the devil. This way is hell. And you do an about turn and you head to the cross. The cross. And there's always room at the cross. There's always room. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. But you have to come as an individual. Because there's always room at the cross for sin. Shall we bow in prayer? If tonight was your final night on earth, and at the stroke of midnight, God would require your soul, I want you to answer this question honestly. Where will I be in God's eternity? answer it honestly. You're unsaved in this meeting. Your conscience tells you and your life tells you that you'll not be in heaven. But Christ can change that. Christ can change that. If you would like to speak to Robert, myself, like to speak to Pastor Millen whenever the meeting's over next door, you come and speak to us. We'll be delighted to show you the way of salvation. There are booklets at the door. They're sitting on the table. You take one as you go out. If you don't want to speak to anyone, they tell you God's way of salvation. I trust you'll come to Christ, our Father in heaven. Our ways are not your ways. And this really, Lord, wasn't the message that we had planned to bring tonight. But we leave this in your hands. And we pray that as people decide, Lord, they're not deciding to join a church, or they're not deciding to, Father, do any. They're deciding for Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you'll give grace for that to happen tonight. And Father, that they'll come clean cut out for Jesus Christ. Answer prayer. Answer a mother's prayers and a father's tears. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.